Welcome to the Disrupt Education Podcast. I'm your host, Peter Hostrasser. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Hey, when you get a chance, hit up disrupteducation.co. You can see all the blogs and the podcasts, everything there, as well as where you're listening to it right now. You can also hit up peterhostrasser.com. That'll take you to the same place. You'll see that my value is helping others find and show their value. Also, I've recently co-founded an awesome think tank called Hall Pass Education. Check that out at getahallpass.com. Sign up for information there. It's totally free, and there are huge opportunities coming that way. Getahallpass.com. On today's podcast, I got two gentlemen who are awesome, Corne and Jeremy. They are at crash.co. They're building a job hunting tool that makes it easy for people to create professional video pitches. It helps people stand out, show their passion, and basically get hired faster. So right after these words, we'll be right back to talk to Corne and Jeremy. I want to take a moment and talk a little bit about Hall Pass Education. The mission of Hall Pass Education is to provide individuals the empowerment they need and desire to be successful in their future business and careers. This empowerment will be achieved via affordable training, coaching, and partnerships. Basically, at Hall Pass, we're going to partner with others like you to demonstrate to creatives the path to career freedom through focused and intensive dialogue and coaching that you might not have previously realized. Head over to getahallpass.com and sign up for more. That's getahallpass.com and sign up. It's totally free. Check it out. The Disrupt Education vlog can be found on YouTube. To hear it in podcast form, search Disrupt Education on any of the following podcast platforms: Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Castbox, Overcast, Radio Public, Pocket Cast, Spotify, or Stitcher. Welcome to this episode of Disrupt Education. I have Corne and Jeremy here from Crash. Guys, introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about who you are.
All right. My name is Corne. I am originally from the Netherlands, where I did actually go the whole nine yards through college, and I got my master's degree in public administration before I realized that it was all pretty much worthless. And so I've basically been teaching myself stuff that is actually valuable in the marketplace from that point on. And now I'm here at Crash.
Awesome. Jeremy, how about you?
Yeah, I'm Jeremy Chevalier. I born and raised here in the States, hailing from French parents. I was always the guy in the friends group who would draw the boxes and the lettering of the comic strips. And I didn't have anybody tell me that that meant I should go into design, but I figured it out while I was in college. So I graduated with a bachelor's degree in design management, which is half design, like graphic design, and half business marketing courses. And kind of broke into the world of design and agencies and internships while I was in college, working full time and everything. And then sort of veered off the traditional path, did 4 years of entrepreneurship, and then was recruited with a nice carrot here at Crash, which we'll talk about.
So here's something interesting, right? Like, in America here, we probably don't know too much about the Netherlands school system. So I kind of want to understand your path. Like, what did that look like in the Netherlands, Corne?
All right. Yeah. So it's a little bit different, but, you know, for all intents and purposes, it's pretty similar. After what our equivalent of high school is, pretty much everyone goes to some form of college. It's a little more level based, basically. You have what you would call here the trade schools mm-hmm. are a little more accepted as a career. It's just kind of, you know, separated way earlier on, more in our equivalent of high school. But basically, if you can go to like university, you are really, really supposed to. And I never even considered it to be an option to not go because everything in education is just pushing you to go there, which is very similar to how it is here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, so I went to study economics at first, because that was my, my best subject and also the subject I was most interested in school. But then I realized after a year of doing that we were all, I mean, how do you say this? We were all talking about theories and never actually putting anything into practice. And I was like, where do we actually solve problems? And then I made another dumb move, which is move into public administration, which is like business administration for the public sector. And after I finished my master's degree there, one thing I was sure of is that I didn't want to work for the government. So what I decided was I wanted to use my knowledge of how the government works to help businesses deal with the government and basically navigate mm-hmm. through that maze. And I actually did land a job to do exactly that as a tax incentive consultant, because there are all kinds of tax incentives in the Netherlands and also here, actually, to guide businesses in what's the right direction according to the government. And it's super complicated. And I was basically the guide for businesses to navigate through that maze.
Yeah, that's kind of a, I guess, what we would consider a little bit of a European model, where there's kind of, you still have the trades and stuff. Did you go through 12 grades, or was it like, what was your high school experience like? Was it still math, science, English, or was it like a little bit different? Because we have the 8-period day here.
Was it 8 periods? I think so. Yes. Well, it is a little bit different in the sense that you do elementary, middle school, and high school here. We do an elementary school up until you're like 12. And then after that, you have our high school equivalent. And that takes 6 years for the highest levels, 5 years for the middle higher levels, and 4 years for all the other levels. So you graduate at either 16, 17, 18, sometimes 19 if you're with later in the year.
All right, we'll transfer over to Jeremy. Tell us a little bit about you, right? French parents coming in and seeing an American system, that must have been a little bit different, right?
Probably. I've been exposed, as a sort of front row seat to what my parents have explained about growing up in the French education system and what all of my cousins over there have described. I don't know anything different than what's here. Mm-hmm. You know, I did my my K through fifth grade, and then 6, 7, 8, and then high school 9 through 12. As pretty much everyone does here, I almost went to Horizon, a charter school out here. My dad ended up winning the fight against that and just wanted me to stay in public school. So who knows how I might have turned out differently had I gone to that charter school instead. But yeah, all told, I mean, I had a pretty classic American education experience. I was excellent at school until high school. And in high school, when the nuances of you know, puberty and adolescence were starting to flood my brain, I found it harder and harder to stay motivated in school or to stay on track. And I would find myself feeling like there's something more out there than just, you know, the grades I'm getting or the subjects that I'm learning. And so I started teaching myself things I was interested in, especially in the realm of like digital art and design. So I got a copy of Photoshop Elements 6, I think it was at the time, and just started using it to create pixel art and digital art and things like that. And then throughout the course of high school, really got good with Photoshop, really got good with Microsoft Publisher. And so I basically taught myself a lot about design before even studying it, and was lucky enough to have friends who were doing similar things, and also an online community for artists called DeviantArt, which is still active. And that was a big part of my later years.
As you just heard, Cornet and Jeremy have two very different backgrounds coming from different countries in education. Coming up after the break, I asked them what they would do to change education to make it better. Some great answers coming up right after the break. Stay tuned.
If you have a child who's passionate about getting into a really great college, you take him to an SAT coach. If you have a child who's really passionate about playing basketball, you take him to a basketball trainer. But if you have a kid whose passion is off-brand or is trying to find their passion and ignite it, you need to take him to Peter Hostrauser.
When I was a junior in high school, I began making videos on YouTube.
We're doing something in my small business management class that has never really been done before.
It wasn't before long that I met Peter Hostrauser, the small business management teacher who helped put me on a course of entrepreneurship, one of which has been the most uplifting and passionate journeys of my life. Peter is a master at pinpointing passions and opening doors for the youth who need just one correct move to set them in the right direction. He will triple down on their strengths, help them build their network and portfolio, and most importantly, help them utilize these learning points so that they can make money with their passion to live their dream life. I, as well as many others, can honestly say that we wouldn't be where we are without his business and coaching expertise. If you're looking to help your student ignite their passion, contact Peter Hostrauser at phostrauser@gmail.com.
Here's the big question. This is obviously the Disrupt Education Podcast in one question, and either one of you can jump in on this because you are doing some interesting things at crash.co. But how would you, if you could, change the education system? I mean, Cornet, you obviously know government is really fun to work for and with. When we're at the teenage age of all the puberty and your brain functioning has gone haywire and such, how would you all change education to make it a little bit more authentic for you?
Yeah, I would definitely make it a lot more project based, but definitely most important of all is that it needs to be self-directed. The great thing when you're younger is that when you're younger, you don't have to pay the bills usually still, and you have a lot of time and a lot of leeway to experiment with stuff. And that is when you actually find what you're good at. And that's how you actually build skills. If you look at what Jeremy's story and also kind of my story, we're both doing something that we weren't necessarily taught in a structured program, but you follow your interest, you develop skills, you become good at software tools, you make projects that show off your skills, and then you get hired based on those. That is eventually how it should be, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I think the core purpose of school should be to teach kids how to learn, not what to learn. And with that said, there are some important basics. And I have thought about ways that you could, for example, teach history by teaching the history of the subject of the class that you're in, rather than teaching history as sort of a separate thing. And really making it so much more contextual when you're learning math, like here is the point in history at which we discovered this, and here's what was happening in the world at that time that led to this discovery of this type of math or whatever. I think that in and of itself would be much more interesting to students. I also think in terms of what schools are sort of quote unquote responsible for teaching in terms of the subjects themselves. It needs to be much more flexible in terms of the different the different styles of learning, auditory learning. You know, I learned my freshman year of college that I was an auditory learner. And I had only ever heard of a visual learner. I just assumed that that was like a term that like looped everybody together because humans are visual.
Yeah.
And come to find out I was an auditory learner. And so I started learning a lot about how I could better learn. And so now I spend, 20% of the time that I spend learning is done through reading articles. Mm. And the vast majority of how I learn is actually through podcasts or through some kind of, YouTube, like a talk on the internet or whatever that I'm not particularly watching, but that I'm listening to. And I wish I had known that earlier on. So I think right now, the way that the school system would really better serve students is to teach the different ways in which we learn, to sort of not try to give the answers, but to help students find answers. And last thing I'll say about that is teaching skills that are marketable and monetizable in the modern world. And whether you're going to, go into a career path like freelancing and trying to get clients yourself, or going and pitching yourself to work at a company that you're excited about, preparing students for the needs of basically our modern business environment.
And the cool part about this is you both work for a company that kind of does that, right? It's the evolution of, okay, it's no longer just a piece of paper. Tell us a little bit about what your roles are at Crash and kind of some of the things that you've seen, because obviously the founder of Crash has been on Isaac in a past episode, but that was a few months ago, so things have evolved. Tell us a little bit about where it's going and where Crash.co is helping people actually show what you just described there, Jeremy, the value in the skill sets that are transferable into, well, money.
Yeah, I mean, Crash is the embodiment of the mantra that you get to be your own credential, that there shouldn't be any reason why, you can't prove your ability to either do a task or learn how to do a task and be an enjoyable part of a team while doing it. Mm-hmm. I think where Crash is headed is not to be, a boot camp. I mean, Isaac already built a boot camp. Crash actually spun out of Praxis. And the idea was to really try to answer the question, can we take 80% of what Praxis teaches, mm-hmm. and how it sort of guides those bootcamp students? Can we take as much of that as possible and put that into a job hunting platform, a career building platform that gives a young, ambitious job seeker who lacks relevant work experience to get even entry-level jobs, according to the requirements, can we give these people the tools that they need to present themselves in a more interesting way than a static, two-dimensional resume and cover letter can offer? Can we give them something that makes them so much more impressive than what companies are used to getting, that they start winning opportunities that they think they weren't qualified for and maybe weren't, but because they're impressive, we give them a chance. You know, that's really what Crash is trying to achieve. And we're moving through different phases of understanding how best to deliver that to our early users. And I'm sure Cornet has some thoughts to add, but that's mm-hmm. the basics of what I can think of.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think one of the most, so to recap, Crash is mostly focused now on making it simple for you to create a good looking video pitch, and why a video pitch is better than just a cover letter and a resume is to me is because it allows you to show that excitement that you really want that job, that you didn't just click apply and uploaded that resume that you've uploaded to a million other jobs, but that you really, you know, you get the opportunity to present yourself. And Isaac actually wrote a post the other day about why excitement is such an undervalued asset, because, you know, at the end of the day, of course, you need, especially if you're higher up, you need some technical skills, but the soft skills of being able to learn something that is required is super valuable, especially at startups where we're focusing our efforts right now, because things at startups are always changing, and you need people more that have the soft skills to be adaptable and learn things that they didn't know a week ago, because now they're all of a sudden required and we're going in a different direction. And that's what you need in your employer set. In practice, they call this forward tilt sometimes, or momentum, you know, that's something you can almost, it's almost impossible to put that in a cover letter or definitely on a resume, but you can show it in your video pitch. And that's why we're pushing that so much right now.
I love that, because I'm thinking the only way you can really show that in a cover letter, just type in all caps. I mean, that's it. So tell us a little where people can find you and crash.co, I'm guessing. Is that where that crash.co, right?
Yeah, crash.co. If you go there, you'll find everything that we're talking about. You can also search it on LinkedIn, find the company, and then click to see, you know, see who works at Crash or whatever it is, and you'll find us on LinkedIn. If you take nothing else away from listening to this episode or watching this video, keep in mind that careers are built on relationships, and one of the most effective things that you can do for your career right now would be to go find all of the employees of Crash on LinkedIn and connect with us, because that will 10x your network reach in and of itself. And also because we're literally dedicating our working lives to helping students just like you, you know, discover and win career opportunities that you never knew existed or would never consider otherwise. So we're here for you, and those are really the take.
I love that, because we're actually, you know, I'm working with you with a couple of high schools, and we're seeing who's going to be curious enough to do this. Age really isn't a limit here, right? Like, right. You can, if you can show your value and your skill sets, you're going to be a little bit higher on the hiring realm of maybe somebody next to you who really is just like, this was my first thing. So what are the age ranges, by the way, do you have so far, and how young can you go? I'm trying to get my 15-year-old on it. That's why I'm asking.
It's a good question. If we redefine the concept of age as mental age, then it's important to keep in mind that it takes a certain level of like awareness to the world, right? And if you think back to when you were a teen, you know, we all sort of pick this up at various calendar ages. For me, it was later, I would say like 17, 18, where I was starting to figure some of this stuff out. But to directly answer your question, I mean, we find that Crash really works best right now for people who are in either graduated high school or very mature in high school, mm-hmm. and already, for whatever reason, whatever life circumstance, already looking at graduating early or looking into jobs or internships that you know, might seem normally more for like a college student or something like that. And so it is really dependent less on age and more on like maturity and that kind of age, if you will.
That's what I call the needle in the haystack at this point, you know, as a secondary educator, because there are some that are just go-getters. So, gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us today on Disrupt Education. Crash.co, we'll put that in all the notes and everything. And good tip, everybody out there, check it out on LinkedIn and connect. Thank you guys so much for being here.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you.
All right, we'll see you next time on Disrupt Education.